So we're in the season of Lent now. And during this whole year of 2018, we're talking about connecting to God and one another. And we just finished a series on connecting to creation. And now we make a shift to connecting to God, the voice of God within us, as we move through this season of Lent. So, because I knew that these events were happening today and that it was the first Sunday of Lent, I have picked passages for today that have connected me to God's call in my life. And so you will hear from Isaiah chapter 43, I have called you by name. And you will hear from Mark chapter 1, when Jesus tells the disciples to follow him, and they just do it. So I invite you to enter into this season of Lent. If you haven't picked up a Lenten devotional booklet, be sure that you do that. There's still some on the table in the church entryway. And now we hear the passage from Isaiah chapter 43.
From Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Here ends the reading.
Listen as Mark tells us the story of how Jesus calls the first disciples in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth, O God, and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, we pray. You are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. So this week at our house, we had a couple of moments that some of you may recognize. It has to do with how well one hears. Somewhere during the week, Art said to me, what are you preaching about this Sunday? And I said, call. And he said, what? Hall? Paul? No, honey. Call. Call. Call! And then last night, my brother and sister-in-law are here for the celebration today. And my sister-in-law says, so what are you preaching about tomorrow? And I said, call. My brother says, what? Hall? Saul? Paul? No, call, honey. Call. So you know those moments, don't you? Yeah. When we think about call, we think about somebody calling us on the phone. we think about what we call things. Like, did you know that we call a baby elephant is a calf, but a baby eel is called an elver? Did you know that? And a baby fish, you know what a baby fish is called? A baby fish is called a fry. Isn't that funny? A baby fish is called a fry. That's a fish fry. Fish. We call things. And sometimes call is something you're meant to do. Like we hear the Olympic athletes as we hear their stories. We couldn't not do it, they'll say. I've been on the slope since I was 3. Or we think about being called for dinner. Do you remember playing in the neighborhood when you were young? And mom would go, maybe through one of those tubes or something like that, Sharon! The person that she was most calling, though, was my brother Larry. Larry! And, you know, if you didn't come when you were supposed to come, you heard about it, didn't you? Because it was getting dark or the streetlights were coming on or dinner was coming. So you heard about it if you weren't paying attention. And this is not unlike being called by God. Something you were meant to do. And you heard about it if you weren't paying attention. God kept nudging and pursuing, always there. Here's a little bit about me. You know, I started out as a teacher of very young children with special needs and working with their families. That was in Naperville, Illinois, and I loved it. But a couple of things happened. We moved from Naperville and Little Friends School to Wisconsin, and I wasn't quite as qualified there. The credentialing was a little different. And I had fewer supports there because our son David was born with some needs. Many of you know that he was born without his right foot. So there I was in a new and estranged place. And suddenly God began to speak. And there was something new, something else, and something scary. An opportunity came up to work as a lay visitation minister in the United Methodist Church we became part of there. And I applied and they hired me, this 30-something with 2 little children. And I visited homebound people and new people. And pretty soon I began to train other people to do that. I thought if I can do this, surely other people can do this. And I began to train people to do that. And God kept working on my heart. And in fact, God kept saying, you know, probably you ought to ground yourself in what you're doing. And that's when I began to take classes at Garrett. The very first class that I took at Garrett was a week-long summer class. It was the only one I could fit in my schedule and around my child care needs. And it was a class designed for seniors to write their senior credo, their final deal. And somehow I ended up in that class. This is the very first class I ever took at Garrett. Later on, as I looked back, I thought if I could make it through that one, I probably could make it through anything. I took other classes one at a time for a few years until one day in early in 1988, I visited a seminary class. I sat in on a seminary class, an ordinary seminary class, and I thought, you know, I could do that. I could take those classes. I could do it. And I applied and I got in, and the most amazing thing was that I was awarded a scholarship. This is why the scholarship is important to me, because I received a scholarship that made it possible for me to do my seminary education virtually debt-free. My children were 7 and 10 when I started seminary. I was commuting about 80 miles to seminary. My mother helped, Art helped, so that I could respond to this call, because then I was going full-time to seminary. I went to seminary intending to continue to work in lay ministry on a staff of a church. During seminary, God continued to speak and work in me. I filled in for somebody on a maternity leave one summer, so I preached for several weeks in a row. I spent time in a study group, and people began to say to me, you know, we could see you being our pastor. And I believe now that God was speaking through them. You see, God calls our names in this little persistent voice within us. and through the voices of other people, those already in the church and those not yet, saying, I think you could be our pastor. And I listened. We listened. I graduated in 1991. I was ordained the same year. I have gotten to serve in some challenging and amazing ways for these 27 years. And here we are. Of course, there's much, much more to the story. But here's what's important for all of us when we think about the call of God upon our lives. Really following the call of Jesus means giving up pretty much everything. The disciples did that when Jesus called them. They were mending their nets. They were fishermen. They were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus said, from now on, you're going to come and fish with me. And the scripture simply says, they threw down their nets and they followed him. Get your mind around that for just a minute. Now, I'm not talking about everybody giving up their day jobs or whatever it is that you do. I'm talking about within our hearts. Within our hearts and our lives, when we decide to really, truly follow the call of Jesus, it means giving up pretty much everything in order to do that, to hold ourselves open to what God has in store for us. To hold ourselves open to what God has in store for us. Really following Jesus means working toward a servant heart. Not my will, but thine be done. This can be so hard to describe, let alone understand. Being so assured of being claimed by God that you become everything for God. It's not like losing yourself. It's finding yourself. It's finding your true self. As God has created you. So then you can give yourself for others because there's everything of you for God. And it requires always listening to God, bringing your frustrations, your angers, your mistakes, your need for forgiveness, all of it to listen to God. And here's the thing. We are all called by name by God. You have all watched us do baptisms here, and we'll have a baptism in the next service. And right before a child or anyone is baptized, we say, what name is given to this child? And the name is spoken out loud so that before the community of faith and God, the person is named and claimed once again. In baptism, in our baptism, we are drawn into God, named and claimed. I have called you by name, and you, dear ones, you are mine. You are mine. And then we are called to follow Jesus, to know him deeply, to be guided by his life and his work. Everyone is called by name. Some are called to this ordained and set apart ministry, called out of our baptism to serve in this particular way. We have some ordained people sitting here right now, along with Pastor Tammy and me. We are not better. We are set apart in a particular way, ordained by God to provide leadership and spiritual guidance to the body that is Christ Jesus. We are called out of our baptism. Now, ways of serving for us and for you may change over time. I've done a whole bunch of things in my time of being ordained. You have done a bunch of things too. Some of you right now may be particularly called to find ways to address the violence in our society, even our world. We grieve again this week for those killed and injured in Florida. The call to bring hope and healing is a complex one. Conversations about mental health, about guns, about all kinds of things that are connected with these kinds of violence that takes place. You know, I think, and I've said before, that we might get rid of mental illness We might get rid of all guns, and that still wouldn't give us the answer to the violence in our world, because it is rooted in something deeply within us. And some of you are particularly called to address that deep within us kind of hurts and pains that leads people to acts of violence. You see, God has a vision for our world. It's laid out for us in the bookends of our scripture. There is a beautiful garden in Genesis where people live in harmony with creation and with one another. And in Revelation, where we find a vision of a new heaven and a new earth, God holds up this vision of what can be and calls us to work toward it. You see, we are in the already and the not yet of God's vision for our world. And so there are times of suffering and difficulty, and it's not okay. We need to work to address it. And some of us are particularly called to help our community and our country in conversations and in actions around difficult subjects. That call is so important. Today, we need to remember that all of us are called to serve Jesus in one way or another. All of us have a part in God's vision for the world, God's vision of life, God's vision of the garden and the new heaven and the new earth. And we might get discouraged or afraid or worried, but God sets that in front of us and says, you and you and you and you, I have called you by name, and you are mine. Come and follow me into the way that makes for peace. You are called out of your baptism to draw ever closer to the heart of Jesus and what that may mean. Sometimes it means changing our hearts, giving up things, looking for a new way of life, listening to the very heartbeat of God. I'm going to invite you to find your true self this Lent and do one thing each day. Read Isaiah 43, 1-7, or Mark 1, 12-16. Pray on it. Pray on it. Pray to hear God's voice calling you by name, comforting and strengthening you, and leading you in the call that is yours, whatever it might be, to bring hope and healing, light and life to our world. Or you might read this Psalm 63. I trust in you, O God. You are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As a dry and a weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love, O God, is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call upon your name. Do one thing and respond to God's call in your life, especially to be fully devoted to Jesus. Give up everything and respond to God's call to find your true self. Like this. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And join me. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air.